thanks for joining us. I pray that the Lord will use your time watching our service today in a way that will help you grow in your love for Him and your appreciation for God's Word. Third Presbyterian Church has been around for a long time, and it has held to and continues to hold to the truths of the Scriptures, and we hold to the classic historic Christian faith and doctrines. We'd love to have you join us some Sunday in person. We meet at 10:25 a.m. Thanks for watching.
Amen. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn in them with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 28. And while you're turning there, the children are free to be dismissed for the children's Bible lesson with Miss Lydia. This past summer, I took advantage of my connection because of our assistant pastor, Hunter Twitty, and got some golf lessons for my sons and sons-in-laws with Hunter's brother, Thomas. Now, the Twitties are just an athletic bunch. It just runs in the family. They are quite skilled in all things that involve sports, and Thomas is a great teacher on the golf course. And so we had him out there, and he was giving some instructions to the Brock clan, although they're not all named Brock since there are sons by law in there as well. But we went out on the driving range, and he was kind of moving from person to person trying to give some helpful advice and tips and all. And one of the things he said to me when we were just sort of standing around talking, he said that it's easier for children to learn the game of golf because they're not really strong enough to handle the club. That the club is bigger than they are, and once it gets swinging, it can sort of move them around, and that's actually very good, because you, in golf, want the club to do the work for you, the way that it's designed, and it will do the right things. I mean, you certainly have mechanics in the swing and so forth, but the club will work for you if you don't try to manhandle it. And with children, they just aren't big enough to manhandle the club and, you know, manipulate everything with the club and manhandle the ball. And so they can learn how to play golf much easier than folks who are older and bigger than the club and can manhandle the club. So in other words, to be good at golf, you've got to yield to the club. You've got to submit to the mechanics of the swing, of course, but you've got to yield to that. You've got to let the golf club do the work. You've got to let the golf club form you rather than you trying to form the golf club and the ball and the swing. So you've got to submit to it. You've got to let the club form you. In this passage that we're looking at today, we're seeing that Jesus is conformed to death, but then we see as well death conforms to Him. So please stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 28. I'll begin in verse 1. I'll read verses 1 through 10 and then verses 16 through 20. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to Mary, said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And then verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, please open our eyes now that we might behold wonderful things from this, your word. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're at that time of year where we hear the refrain, since it's near April 15th, although I think now for a second year in a row, the government has given you a little bit more time and pushed back the date to file your taxes. I think it's May 17th this year, but you want to check me on that. But we hear the refrain this time of year that there are two things that no one can avoid, death and taxes. Well, that is true for most of us, of course. And death is the powerful foe, and no one escapes it, except what we read here in Matthew chapter 28, and that is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus escapes death. He has power over death. He has authority over death. And that's my first point that I want to spend just a few moments on, and then I'll spend the bulk of the sermon on the second point. But this first point is just the proposition itself, that in the resurrection we see that Jesus is not conformed to death, but rather death is conformed to Him. Jesus is not conformed to death, but death is conformed to Him. That's what verses 1 through 10 make clear. Now, sure, you may say, well, Jesus died, didn't He? And in a sense, yes, He did conform to death, but it was just a temporary arrangement. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 27, we read about Christ's humiliation, and the question is, wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? And the answer is, Christ's humiliation consisted in His being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries in this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. That last phrase is important. Continuing under the power of death for a time. Death for Jesus was just a speed bump on the road to redemption, making a pathway for us to be made right with God. So yeah, speed bumps are inconvenient, and oftentimes they'll slow you down, and you've probably done it as I have. You look for a way to get at least some of the wheels around the speed bump. You try to avoid it if you can, but they don't really keep you from accomplishing what you are out to accomplish. They're just sort of temporary inconveniences. And again, no one escapes death except Jesus. It was a temporary inconvenience. So that's why Jesus is able to say in verse 18 in this passage, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So in the resurrection, we see that all authority has been given to Christ. And all means all. Even death itself is now subject to the Lord Jesus. There's nothing over Him. There's nothing more powerful than Christ. And again, that includes death. What we would think, even more so than taxes, is the one thing we can't escape. But in Christ, we do escape it. In other words, death, as we see here, talking about Christ having all authority, death does the Lord's bidding. In Jesus, death has bumped up against something more powerful than itself. And death yields to Christ. Death is put in its place. In the resurrection, death learns that it doesn't have all authority. It's still powerful, but it's not ultimate. Jesus makes death a temporary speed bump because He conquers death. And in the resurrection, Jesus makes death submit to him. Death bends to Christ. That's the golf illustration. When we bend to Christ, when we yield to him, when we are conformed to him, that's when we, by the mercies of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, overcome death as well. When we're one with Christ, we, in Christ, rise from the dead. Death, as I said, is a foe. Death destroys. Death takes life. Death ends relationships. Death causes problems. And Jesus is all about life. Jesus is all about joy. Jesus is all about eternality. That's one of the reasons why we have the beautiful flowers. The lilies are always in churches, an Easter tradition. I got a text message this morning from one of my friends that I've known for more than a decade now, and he said, "I sure hope you're wearing your seersucker suit on Easter Sunday morning." And of course I am. I took a picture and sent it to him because I wear this every Resurrection Sunday to indicate just new life from the darkness of the tomb to the brightness of life in Christ. Death has been changed. Death has been altered. Death has to yield itself to Christ. Death has been defeated. And hopefully you're saying, "Okay, I got it. Clear. So what's your point?" That's the application, point number two. Since in the resurrection death has been defeated, if you want to live, you must be defeated too. Since in the resurrection death has been defeated and Christ has overcome death and gives life, then if you want to experience that life, then you must be defeated as well. Since in the resurrection death has been conformed to Christ, if you want to live, you too must be conformed to Christ. Which gets back to the golf illustration. Yield. That's the application to this. Yield to Christ. Submit to Christ. If you want to live, you must be defeated as well. You must yield. You must submit. You must be conformed to the Lord Jesus. This is the way it's worded in God's Word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus speaking there, will find it. And in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So in the same way that death was defeated, you and I must be defeated. In the same way that death has been conformed to Christ, you and I must be conformed to Christ. Think about a lump of clay, which the Bible oftentimes compares us to, a lump of clay. To be useful, you've got to press that lump of clay up against something stronger and more powerful than itself. A mold, maybe, or your hands, or some tools that you use that carve it in certain ways. It's got to be transformed from a lump into something else. And Jesus is the mold to whom we must conform. It's the only way to life. Another way to think of it maybe is this idea of yielding. When we live in Crestwood, and there's one spot where Crestwood Boulevard, which is really 5th Avenue, is that right? Yeah, 5th Avenue. 5th and 3rd kind of come together. And the folks, I'm never on 3rd, I'm always on 5th. And the folks coming down on 3rd, they're moving at a pretty good clip. And even this morning, especially, it's one of those where it's like, I hope they realize they're supposed to yield. And I haven't yet seen an accident there. Although there's a lot of bumper-looking type debris on the ground. Somebody's got to yield, or there's going to be a mess. And it's that way for us in our walks with the Lord. Without yielding to Christ, There's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be pain. In the resurrection, Jesus shows us that He has all authority, which means, therefore, that life without yielding to Him means destruction. It means pain. It means loss. So let me give you three ways that you can yield to Christ these days. Three ways you can yield to Christ. Number one, yield to the challenging words of Christ. Yield to the challenging words of Christ, which, of course, are primarily going to be found in the Bible, God's Word. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You get those middle two words there? Reproof and correction. That means the Bible's job is to smack you and I around. It's to beat us up a little bit. It's to show us our faults. It is designed to rub up against us and, like sandpaper, smooth off those rough edges. And if you're not allowing it to mold you, then you're either not reading it at all, or you're just not understanding it, interpreting it properly. But that's what the Bible does. It is designed to rub up against us. If all you get from the Bible, again, is just comforting words or words of encouragement and reminders, and we need those, and there are plenty of those in the Bible, but we need to be reminded that the Bible is designed to make you at times a little bit upset. It's designed to cross you. It's designed to give you reproof and correction. Tim Keller has written, only if God can say things that make you struggle will you know that you have met the real God and not a figment of your imagination. So when you read your Bible, don't pray so much for understanding, pray for submissiveness to it. So yield to challenging words, particularly the Word of God, but also yield to the Word of others. I've been doing a little bit of a study in the book of Proverbs and just am regularly amazed at the commands to listen to and accept and hear and obey and follow the words of, usually in Proverbs it's those of parents, but not only parents, those who are in authority over you, civil leaders and those elders and personal mentors, advisors, counselors. And we need to yield to those words. I was thinking about this week and wrote down this prayer, that a good prayer for the leaders in my life would be, may they gently but regularly step on my toes with godly biblical advice and rebuke. Again, biblical advice and rebuke, that you and I are corrected and reproved. There's a book out on leadership that I heard about just this week, and it's calling on leaders, especially pastors, but not only pastors, to be what it called multi-directional, which means that leaders, something that can be helpful and needful for leaders, is for them to lead and give advice and guidance and lead in directions that surprise you. To be multi-directional, in other words, to challenge Christians from angles that the Christians didn't expect. To come at Christians, as we say sometimes, from out of left field, to sort of be blindsided. If all we ever hear is someone saying things with which we agree, then we're not really being challenged. We're not really being challenged to think. We're not really being challenged to change. And so don't pray that your elders, be it parents or literal elders in the church or mentors, advisors, counselors, don't pray that they'll really stick it to the other guy. Pray that they'll stick it to you. Don't be quick to say, well, I disagree with that. Say things like, I'm probably wrong here. The resurrection, it means that Jesus has all authority, and life is found when we conform to Him, when we submit to Him, when we yield to Him. Yield, first of all, to challenging words. And then second, yield to challenging situations. In James chapter 1, we read that we are to consider all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And he continues and says, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 4 tells us to stay in challenging situations and let endurance do its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, complete, lacking in nothing. So we should quit trying to engineer solutions to remove ourselves from challenging situations. Now, I'm not saying you stay in an abusive situation. You hear me? I'm not saying that at all. But we need to quit trying to engineer solutions to remove challenging situations. And we, of course, we'll try to do that. That's what seems to come, what comes natural is to either fight or flight, to either get stronger than and defeat the challenging situation or just to get out of it. And so we maneuver, we scheme, we plot, we plan, which is sort of the world's socially acceptable way of winning something. But that's not yielding to challenging situations. And it's in the yielding of your soul that you are formed for good. It's in the yielding that death is defeated and Christ is formed in you. Lisa and I watched a movie the other night about the founder of McDonald's, Ray Kroc, which it was really actually a sad movie. It made you not really like him very much. And the interesting thing about it is he really was not the founder of McDonald's. I didn't know that until the movie. It was enlightening and interesting to me. McDonald's was actually started by two brothers whose last name was McDonald in California. Ray Kroc was from Illinois, and he made a deal with them to franchise their stores. And so they started expanding greatly where he was from, because he was the salesman in Illinois and Milwaukee and other areas. And he eventually got into some financial trouble because he just didn't have enough profit over, income, revenue, expenses. And so he got in a little bit of trouble, and probably in part because he expanded too quickly. But eventually, through really creating new corporations and then through other legal maneuvering, he essentially gained control and pushed out the original brothers who started McDonald's. So rather than submitting to the challenging situation, he manhandled it. And he became, of course, very wealthy, very well known, but in the process he lost his soul. And it's when we conform ourselves to the death of Christ, when we allow ourselves to be conformed to Him, that we gain our soul, that we find life. The godly way of handling situations, especially challenging situations, is not to maneuver and scheme and plot, but it's to wait on the Lord. And that waiting is so key, because it's in the waiting that you submit yourself to the situation the Lord has you in. And when you sit down and you wait on the Lord, you learn that He's the one who has all authority and is all powerful, and He is the one who will bring life from situations that appeared at first to be full of darkness and death. The resurrection means that Jesus has all authority, and life is found when we're conformed to Him. So yield to challenging words. Yield to challenging situations. And finally, yield to Christ, period. Yield to the Lord Himself. And ultimately, ultimately, when you yield to the Lord's word and you yield to the Lord's authorities, leaders, mentors, elders in your life, ultimately when you yield to the Lord's ways, His challenging situations in which He puts you, then you are yielding to the Lord Himself. And the way you are able to do that is by faith. By believing verse 5, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. And believing verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Two times, do not be afraid. We are enabled to yield to the Lord. We can do that when we believe that yielding to the Lord is nothing to be afraid of. We are enabled to yield to the Lord when we believe that yielding to Him is where we find life and peace. So my challenge to you this morning is to yield to the Lord. Whether you are not yet a believer, I'm calling you to believe and yield to Christ, or you've been a Christian for many, many years. Yield to Christ, His Word, His ways in your life. Don't try to stiff-arm God. He's opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Don't be stubborn. Don't demand your way. He rejects the stubborn heart, but He accepts the broken and contrite one. The best prayer that you can ever pray is the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before He was crucified. Lord, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. That's a true heart that wants to be conformed to Christ when you pray that as well. That's the prayer of a yielded life. Lisa's been watching the Crown TV shows, Netflix series, and I'd pick up bits and pieces of it, kind of walking through whatever. I might stop and watch 5 or 10 minutes and move on and things like that. I kind of learned my lesson because that happened with Downton Abbey back 100 years ago. I sat in the room and was just kind of, you know, watching from a distance, and then I got sucked in, and then I was watching it the rest of the time. So I'm trying to fight that with The Crown. It looks like some good acting and so forth, but I've tried to not watch it. But the other night I watched one with her, the first time kind of from beginning to end, the whole episode. And it was one where Charles marries a lady died, Princess Diana. And one of the things that I found interesting about that was that numerous times in that particular episode, the Queen and others spoke about duty. And I don't understand it enough why Charles shouldn't have married and didn't initially marry the woman to whom he's married now. But it had something to do with duty. She wasn't right for the monarchy or whatever. I don't know. But I just know that he had to do his duty, which was marry somebody more like Princess Diana, which he did. But you know, because I did a little research on it afterwards, I wanted to find out a little bit more about it because I was intrigued by the whole story, because I had never really followed, I guess, too much the monarchy in the UK. And so, you know, you learn about this whole situation is it was really only an outward duty following. He really only outwardly followed and did his duty. He never truly embraced it, because he never truly embraced, apparently, his wife. And there's a sense in which it seems like he has kicked against his duty all his life. And so it's not really affected him. It didn't really change him. It didn't really give him warmth and love in his heart for his wife, Diana. In other words, by not truly yielding, it never really changed him. That's what I'm preaching about today. The resurrection means that Jesus has all authority, and life is found when we are conformed to Christ, when we yield to Him, when we submit to Him. Again, it's the golf club and the game of golf. You've got to submit to the mechanics of the swing. You've got to submit to the nature of the club in order to have any success and enjoyment out there on the golf course. So I ask you this morning, to whom are you conformed? To Christ? To self? We all need to run into the unbending Christ. We all need to be surrounded by the inflexible Christ. We need to be conquered by the Lord Jesus. And until you are, you will live frustrated, destructive lives. By yielding to death, Jesus overcame death by the power of God. That's the way God works. And so as we yield ourselves to Him and His will for us, as we lose our lives in Him, He gives us life. One of the hymns that we sing is, "To God be the glory." We sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life." That's what I'm talking about. who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that we may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Let us pray. And if you're here today and you recognize your sinfulness before the Lord and you want to be made right with Him, you want to submit yourself to Him, pray something like this silently in your heart to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner before you. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please take control of my life. And lead me from this day forward. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this day for worship. May we all daily yield ourselves to you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
The Lord has used this time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings, and we can meet face-to-face, 10:25 on Sundays. Thanks again for watching.